Pirate Nation. Purple and gold family. Stand to your feet. Put your crossbones up and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, welcome to the island, man, it's crazy in here. A whole sea of purple and gold waving in here. Keep a plank on a Shark Tank, traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of body sailors in here.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We're talking East Carolina Pirate Baseball. The Pirates will welcome Missouri State to Clark LeClair Stadium this weekend, a three-game series with the Bears, a very proud program with an awful lot of success down through the years. And right now, to preview that matchup, very excited to welcome to the show for the first time, Corey Riggs. Corey, we appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm thrilled to do it, Bubba. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here on a Thursday evening, as I know you and the Bears have just arrived to Greenville here not too long ago, right?
Yeah, this is kind of a crazy grind of a road trip for us. The week for the Bears started on Tuesday at home in Springfield at Hammonds Field, and we played a back-to-back little two-game home-and-home series with Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau. So we played them at home on Tuesday, and as soon as the game was over, it was an afternoon game, we hopped on the bus down to Cape Girardeau, played the Red Hawks again at their place at Capahaw Field in Cape, and then as soon as that game was over, bussed up to St. Louis, crashed for the night, got on a plane this morning, and flew into Raleigh and made our way to Greenville now and play this three-game set with you guys. Then we fly back into St. Louis on Monday, and instead of going home right away, we stick around, and on Tuesday, we're going to play the St. Louis University Billikens. So quite a little road trip before we get back home to Springfield.
As we were discussing in the green room, a lot of times when we have guests on the show for the first time, intrigued to hear how you got into broadcasting and how you began to do what you do and developed a passion for it. Tell us a little about yourself and your association, not only with Missouri State, but to your background in broadcasting.
Well, I grew up in a little town about an hour away from Springfield called Webb City, which has got one of the biggest football programs in the state of Missouri, 16-time state champions, and I've always had a passion for sports, grew up in a family that watched sports 24/7, 365, everything from racing to college sports to Kansas City Chiefs, St. Louis Cardinals, Royals, you name it. But that wasn't what I was going to go to college for. I went to SMS, which is what Missouri State was when I went to school there, Southwest Missouri State University, and actually was going to nursing school. And ended up realizing that was maybe not the career path that I was destined to be on, and made a pivot. One of my best friends told me, I don't know what you're ever doing going to nursing school anyway. You ought to be calling games. And went back to school and got my degree from Missouri State, and went to work for a company called Mediacom. I've been with the cable company in Springfield now almost 25 years. And in that time, I've done a lot of television work, producing, directing, and eventually got my first crack at announcing. And that was all it took. And I've been hooked ever since, and been very lucky for the last 11 years. I've been one of the primary play-by-play voices for the Missouri State High School Activities Association state championships in football, basketball, and baseball. I've been covering sports on Mediacom for over 20 years. And then in the last 8 or 9 years, with the advent of ESPN3 and ESPN+, I got to start covering Missouri State, my alma mater, and then able to work my way into the radio network. Started as a studio host doing the pregame and postgame shows and halftime shows for a lot of the Bears sports coverage, and got to work with the voice of the Bears, Art Haynes, who's been the team's primary play-by-play guy for 41 years. But he had a horrible incident happen to him late last year. He's been hospitalized now for 7 months after contracting West Nile virus and ended up paralyzed. And he's rehabbing now. As a matter of fact, the Lady Bears, our women's basketball team, played a first-round WNIT game in Lincoln, Nebraska last night, lost to Nebraska to the Cornhuskers, but that's where Art is rehabbing, and they actually got him out of the rehab facility. He went to his first sporting event since he was in Fayetteville, Arkansas for a college football game, week three of the college football season. He's been in the hospital ever since then, but he got out, got a hall pass last night and went out and watched the Lady Bears play. And we're all hoping and praying that he continues his recovery and he gets back into this seat sooner rather than later. But Bubba, you know how crazy the sports season is. So you've always got to have a crossover person, and Art normally finishes up basketball season. So for the last 7 years, I've always traveled with the baseball Bears to get the season started in Art's place. And then whenever basketball season ended, he would hop in and take over, and I would just fill in for him for time to time. But this has been a protracted fill-in role this year, as I've been filling in for him since about week four of the college football season.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers with him. I'm glad to hear he's doing better. You know, Pirate Nation in the East Carolina community can certainly relate there. As I'm sure you know, here a little over a month ago, the unfortunate passing of Jeff Charles, the voice of the Pirates, who had been in Greenville going back to 1988.
Yeah, I heard about that, and that's the type of thing that you know, you get so used to those voices. They become a part of the community. Voices like his, like Art's, they become a part of generations of families that grow up loving a sport and a team. And it's not an enviable task to be the person who tries to fill in or fill those shoes, whether it's short term or long term. You know, most people in this business know the phrase that the show must go on, and you got to keep games going. And that's what we've been doing. And I know Art in Lincoln has been an avid listener and is quick to send me a text with notes to tell me if I forgot something and make sure to get it back in the next broadcast.
Kind of switching gears a bit, talking some baseball, this Missouri State program, so much tradition and success. And before we talk about this year's club, just tell our viewers and listeners about this program as a whole. You take a look at it. You've been to Omaha back in 2003. You've been to, I think, at least three super regionals and put between 20 and 25 guys in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's an incredible program. It's a program that Southwest Missouri takes a ton of pride in Missouri State Baseball. 19 regional berths in the program's history. 43 All-Americans have played baseball at Missouri State. 22 major leaguers. There's just a ton of history here. And the crazy thing is, this is a program that's only ever had two head coaches. The first head coach who built the program was a gentleman by the name of Bill Rowe. Bill's an incredible guy, a great friend to so many people in Springfield and Southwest Missouri. He got the program started. Then eventually he was asked to take over the reins as athletic director to take Missouri State into the Division I era and move their athletic programs D1. So he did that, and then he tabbed our current head coach, Keith Gutton, to take over the program. And all Keith has done is be the consistent figurehead of this program for 41 years. He's in the Springfield Area Sports Hall of Fame, the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, and he is the second active winningest coach in all of NCAA Division I baseball. I say only Danny Cox at Georgia Tech right now has more active wins than the head coach of Missouri State, who's one win ahead of John Anderson, the head coach at Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. So the top three guys in Missouri State has one of the winningest coaches in the top three in the country. It's a crazy deal. And Coach is an amazing person, extremely loyal, and all he has done for all these years is just build a bigger and bigger program. Gets this team into a incredible facility in Hammonds Field, which is a shared facility between the Bears and the AA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals, the Springfield Cardinals. So it's been a great run, and he's got a great coaching staff around him now with a couple of former amazing players in Joey Hawkins, who's now his associate head coach. Joey got drafted into the St. Louis Cardinals organization, now is back with the Bears and the most decorated pitcher the program has ever had. Nick Petrie is in his first year now as being the pitching coach at Missouri State.
I believe I may have mentioned in the open, this will be the second matchup between the East Carolina Pirates and the Missouri State Bears on the diamond. The first came back in 2018 when you guys were part of the Keith LeClair Classic. Missouri State was victorious in that game, 7-4 over the Pirates. And I know, and so you've had at least some experience seeing what Clark LeClair Stadium in the Jungle is about.
Oh, it's a great environment, and it's a beautiful facility. I joke, and you can appreciate this, Bubba. I don't know how much the listeners and the viewers will, but, you know, when you travel around and you make a living calling ball games or following teams, you see some of the nicest facilities you'll ever see in your entire life, and sometimes you see some that aren't as nice. And I was very excited when I looked on the schedule and saw that we were coming back to ECU because of the fan base and because of the incredible facilities that you all offer. But, yeah, we came out for the Keith LeClair Classic for about 5 years ago and got the win over ECU 7-2, and that was a very good Missouri State team. And we talk about the Major League Baseball players that cut their teeth at Missouri State that have made it to the show. Well, the guy that was on the mound for that game against the Pirates was a guy named Dylan Coleman. Struck out 8 7 innings in that start, and he's been pitching for the Kansas City Royals up in Kauffman Stadium, so he didn't have to leave Springfield very far, just about 2.5-3 hours up the road to Kansas City. And Drew Millis was the catcher that day. Drew went 4-for-4 with a couple of RBIs, and Drew is in the Washington Nationals organization right now, one of their catchers, and been able to catch him on some spring training TV games with the big club here in the preseason. It's been pretty exciting to watch both of those guys maturation and try to live out their dreams of being Major League Baseball players.
Obviously, these two programs, an awful lot of success. You take a look at East Carolina with Cliff Godwin. Obviously, prior to his arrival, this program had accomplished so much, and he's taken it to another level where it's been in super regionals year in, year out over the last few years, and always playing a challenging non-conference schedule, and that's certainly the case this weekend. I know you guys are off to an 11-5 start, winners of four straight, those midweek wins over Southeast Missouri State that you mentioned, and you also had number 12 Oklahoma State come to you, and that was a 12-10 shootout, a game that you fell just shy of.
Yeah, and that was a game the Bears should have won. You know, Oklahoma State, just like ECU, has got an incredible nationally recognized program. But we've got a lot of history between the Bears and Oklahoma State. That was the regional we were in last year out in Stillwater, and got up on Oklahoma State and ended up letting that one slip away, kind of like this game ended up happening at Hammonds Field. But that game in the Stillwater Regional, that was the highest scoring game in NCAA postseason history for the sport of baseball. The Bears got up 12-15 runs in that one, and Oklahoma State ended up storming back. So Oklahoma State, Missouri State has turned into a very good regional rivalry, just like the fact that Missouri State has the luxury of getting to play a top-tier program like the Arkansas Razorbacks every year, and the University of Missouri just up the road in Columbia. So the Bears try to schedule as tough a run as they can in the non-conference to get ready for the Missouri Valley Conference. And it's a Missouri Valley Conference that's very different. The league overall this last year added in three new teams. You add in teams like the University of Illinois Chicago, Belmont, and Murray State. So it changes the dynamics in the league. It changes scheduling in the league. And out goes a powerhouse like Dallas Baptist University, which had kind of had a short run in the Missouri Valley Conference, but Missouri State and DBU had a lot of good series against one another, two powerful programs.
Before we take a look at this roster and talk about some of the key pieces that Pirate fans will see this weekend, tell us about your legendary coach. He's between his time as a player and assistant coach and now head coach, he's been a part of Missouri State baseball for 45 years, I think 75% of the program's history.
Yep, 41 years as the head coach, seven-time Missouri Valley Conference Coach of the Year. And it's the amazing consistency of Keith Gutton over these four plus decades is just, you don't find it very many places. You remember I rattled off those names at Georgia Tech and at Minnesota. And one of the reasons why those names are all intertwined is because it's something that you don't see much anymore, which is someone dedicating their life, dedicating their career to one program. I mean, Coach would never say it, but you know, you've got to think there have been people that have come calling over the years that might have been able to offer more salary, might have been able to offer different facilities, different tools for recruiting, and he has stayed true and maroon and white for all these four decades, and he's just an absolute joy to work with. 1,351 career wins now, and it's still going up, and it's just, I got to be honest with you, but when I started 7 years ago, you know, part of our broadcast, you know, the second segment of every broadcast is a chat with the coach, go down to the field, record an interview. And, you know, 7 years ago, I'd still been in this business at that point in time, 13, 14, 15 years. I was intimidated to go down onto the diamond and talk to Keith Gutton beforehand because just, he's the winningest coach that the school's ever had, that the program's ever had. One of the two winningest coaches in the Missouri Valley Conference since Wichita State left for greener pastures, but or different pastures. I don't know that they'd tell you it's very much greener where they've been, but the American Athletic Conference, I mean, you know how tough your conference is and what you guys have to go through each and every year. I'm sure Coach Godwin could speak to that, but no, it's one of the things I take the most pride in is representing Coach Gutton and representing this baseball team the way he has represented this program and the school for the better part of almost 50 years now.
Tell us about this lineup. I see you're hitting 285 as a team, but one of the things that jumped out to me as I was looking over the numbers, team slugging percentage of 527. And there are 30 home runs spread amongst nine different guys that have hit two or more. And they're led with Spencer Nivens with seven bombs.
Yep. Spencer has had home runs in the last couple of games. He provided the exclamation point for a walk-off win in the last series against SIUE. First pitch, he was the leadoff batter in the bottom of the 10th inning and put one on top of the Bill Rowe indoor training facility there at Hammonds Field. Hit another home run against SEMO. And, yeah, there's really not a weak spot in the batting order that can't produce a big timely hit. I think the craziest thing about this lineup and the thing that I find the most impressive is when you look up and down it, how many freshmen are contributing right now. The corner outfielders for Missouri State couldn't be more different. You've got Tag Gollert in left field, and you've got Zach Stewart in right field. Tag Gollert is from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and he got recruited to Missouri State. Even though he didn't get to play a lot of travel ball and a lot of high school ball late in his career because of COVID, but Missouri State's associate head coach and one of their all-time best players, Joey Hawkins, was from that area as well. So Joey recruits him, gets him to come to Springfield. He's one of the nation's leaders in doubles and has been since the opening week of the season when Missouri State dropped 2 of 3 on the road in San Luis Obispo, California against Cal Poly. But Tag is just a relentless hitter who will work the pitch count as deep as he can and either wait till you make a mistake or give him the opportunity to find a ball to drive. And it seems like it's an extra base hit every other time he swings the bat. Then on the opposite side of the outfield, the other corner outfielder in right field is Zach Stewart. Stewart's a true freshman just like Gollert, but instead of being an international player, he grew up just about 45 miles up I-44 from Springfield in a town called Lebanon, Missouri. His dad played for Keith Gutton for a year. And Zach absolutely destroys the baseball when he hits it. He generates some of the most incredible bat head speed of anybody on the roster. I just recently saw a report that had the top 15 exit velocities, not to get too metrically deep in the weeds here, but of the top 15 exit velocities that Missouri State hitters have hit this season, the freshman, Zach Stewart, has 9 of the 15. I think his most recent was 110.3 miles per hour. So When he gets the bat around from the left side, he can absolutely smoke a baseball. So the freshman outfielders have been really impressive this year. The top two in the batting order are both sophomores, both lefties, and Nick Rodriguez and Spencer Nivens. Nivens is a Columbia, Missouri kid. His dad, Matt, played for Mizzou, but elected to come down to Springfield, and that's a pretty good interstate rivalry and a father-son rivalry now. Nick Rodriguez, who bats leadoff, is a transfer from Charleston Southern. The two of them were both freshman All-American selections last year. So we have two previous seasons freshman All-Americans batting in the top two spots of the batting order. 23 new players on this team this season meant a kind of a big overhaul on the roster, and there are new names up and down the lineup. Cody Kelly started his career at Minnesota, which means Cody Kelly has played for two of the three winningest active coaches in all of college baseball. He's the Bears' new catcher. He's got a lot of pop in his bat. Dylan Robertson was a JUCO guy who's now at third. And then you've got some veteran guys like Mason Greer, the Bears' switch-hitting first baseman. His dad was Rusty Greer, had a nine-year career, is in the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame. So there's just a lot of really good baseball players, but I am surprised at how quickly the true freshmen on this roster have turned into immediate contributors to Missouri State's early season success.
Let's take a look at the pitching matchups for this weekend on East Carolina's side. And you have Treya Savage in the Friday night role, and then you have Carter Spivey and Josh Gross. That trio has been very good. Spivey had a rough start on opening weekend where you had some weather throw a kink into things, and then he didn't pitch his best, but he's been very good since. And tell us what Missouri State presents as far as their weekend three.
Well, it has been the same for most of the season. I am not sure how they're going to play it out this weekend. I know this much. I know that Brant Thompson will be the Friday night guy. He was the Saturday night guy the first week or two. And he's a righty out of Minnesota. And he has definitely, hands down, been the most consistent starter that Missouri State has had. He and Trey Ziegenbein, our grad student, reliever, setup man, closer, combined for 19 strikeouts in a game against SIUE to tie a school record. Brant Thompson had 12 of those strikeouts. He ended up, I think, retiring 16 in a row that game. And he's got very good stuff. He's been very consistent. He's one of three players that the coaching staff went after that were up at North Iowa Area Community College. And he was definitely that program's best pitcher and has been just a model of consistency since coming to Missouri State. Meanwhile, Hayden Minton has been our Sunday starter. I think that's probably who the Pirates will see on Saturday. Minton is kind of a crazy story. He started his first two seasons in Springfield at Missouri State, but just never found the right formula. It never really clicked for him, and he kind of battled for 2 years. And you don't see this much in college baseball. So he goes, after 2 years of Division I baseball, he goes down to JUCO and then came back to the same program that he left. And I think that says a lot about the relationship that Hayden and our pitching coach, Nick Petrie, have. And they've brought him back, and he's a good 4-5 pitch guy. Fastball that'll get up over 90 miles per hour. He'll work in a really good slider and a changeup. And Minton, I asked the coaching staff, what did Hayden need to go find in dropping down to JUCO for a year and coming back to the Bears? They said he needed to find some consistency, and he needed to do a little growing up. He needed to find a little maturity. And the coaches have both told me that he's found that. And I think it's played out in his starts this year. He had a 10 strikeout game against the Cougars of SIUE Edwardsville, retired 16 straight on March 12th in that game. That's the longest streak by a Missouri State pitcher since about 2019, when Dylan Coleman was still on the Bears roster. And that's the guy we talked about earlier, who played against ECU the last time the Bears were in Greenville. So those two will probably go Friday, Saturday. The big story as far as the pitching staff goes was surrounding Jake Eddington. Jake Eddington was ranked in the top 50 of the top transfers by D1 Baseball this year. He's a righty, originally from a Missouri town, Donovan, Missouri, but he signed with Alabama out of school, pitched to the SEC, was a reliever his freshman year, then had to have Tommy John, been recovering from that. So this year, in his first couple of starts, there have been high points and low points for Jake. But the big thing is, and what the coaching staff has reminded me, hey, Corey, he's really only in his second year of college baseball, and he didn't start his first year. So he's kind of learning how to come out and be a starter, be a tone setter for the rest of the night, for the rest of the nine innings. But right now, Eddington might be pitching Sunday. We're not entirely sure. He had had some back issues that has kind of slowed him down, and that may or may not play into whether or not it's him, or could be maybe a Tyler Charter, who's been kind of our midweek guy so far this year. Bad backs have sidelined a couple of Bears in the last week, Jake Eddington being one who is, anytime he's on the mound, there's usually a half dozen to a dozen scouts with radar guns trying to chart him and check him out. The other thing is Missouri State had two Missouri Valley Conference preseason picks in their starting lineup. One is our center fielder, Spencer Nivens, who leads the team in home runs. The other is our second baseman, Mason Hall. And Mason Hall not only was a preseason pick in the Valley, he was a third-team All-American preseason pick, and he's been sidelined. He's missed the last five games now with some lower back issues, and we've had a freshman, Jake McCutcheon, end up taking those starts at second, and that young man has really played well. He is a plus bat. That is definitely his best tool, but he hasn't really made any mistakes at second base. I think he's committed one error in five games. He's helped to turn three or four double plays on the Missouri State infield. So he's done a really good job filling in for Mason. I am told the hope is that Hull will return to the lineup against the nationally ranked Pirates this weekend.
Taking a look at the bullpen, you have a couple guys who have seen 10 appearances already. So tell us about the most reliable arms that we can expect to see from Missouri State there.
Well, the two guys you're talking about are Scott Youngbrandt and Trey Ziegenbein. Ziegenbein has been a stalwart for Missouri State ever since he came to Springfield. He is long, he's lean, he's 6'3", and he is a straight slider guy. The slider is his pitch. Probably 80% of what you'll see from Trey will be sliders. He'll mix in a cutter and a changeup, but a good hard slider that can go from one batter's box to the other is what Ziegenbein brings to the mound. 2 years ago in 2021, he was an All-Missouri Valley Conference selection at pitcher. Last year, his numbers weren't as good, but this year, Trey looks to be back to the form that he was in 2021. And he will probably make a run at the all-time appearances record in Missouri State history between the COVID year, being a grad senior, and the fact that his nickname is Everyday Trey. I mean, he's just the most reliable arm they have. He can do anything. He can come in and close out the game. He can be your setup guy. Or if the starter gets into trouble, he can come in long relief. So Trey Ziegenbein, number 40, is a guy you'll probably see at least two of the days this weekend. Another guy you'll probably see at least twice is Scott Youngbrandt. And Youngbrandt is a transfer, a grad transfer. He spent 4 years of playing college baseball up I-44 in St. Louis, Missouri, for the St. Louis University Billikens. He's durable. He's versatile, like Ziegenbein is, and the fact that he can come in, take over for a starter. The crazy thing about Scott is they've used him so many different ways. If you look at his stat line, he's like 2-2 on the season and has two saves. So those numbers are kind of unique for a guy that's only come out of the bullpen. He hasn't started a game, but he's figured in the win or the loss four times with two saves. But Youngbrandt is primarily a cutter guy. He'll use that a lot. Mix in a changeup, that cutter will peak 86, 88 miles per hour, but it has good movement both vertically and horizontally. And he's the type of guy, I tell you how special Scott Youngbrandt is. He's a one-year player. He's a grad transfer from another program in state. And this is a kid, Coach Gutton told me he thinks this is the first time this has ever happened. The team voted for three camp captains this season. One of them was Mason Hall, the preseason All-Missouri Valley Conference All-American third teamer at second base, who's been out hurt, Trey Ziegenbein, and Scott Youngbrandt. And so that says a lot to what kind of leadership abilities and what sort of clubhouse guy Scott is, as he's made that sort of impact on his new team just a month and a half into the season.
And Trey Ziegenbein's control definitely jumps out. In 20 innings, he has struck out 26 batters as opposed to just four walks.
Yeah, no, Trey has done a really good job improving on those numbers from a year ago. There were some control issues at times. I also think last year there was some overuse. I mean, at times, the pitching staff for Missouri State struggled at times last year, and he really made a difference. But, I mean, heck, Trey's thrown now in five of the last eight games and has thrown 10.2 shutout innings and struck out 16. He's just – right now he's one of the best in the Missouri Valley Conference, and you'll probably see him a couple of times here in Greenville this weekend.
Lastly, tell us about the ball club defensively.
Defensively, if you're a fan of the fact – that Major League Baseball has banned the shift, you won't like the Bears. The infield shifts constantly. They will definitely play percentages against opposing hitters. So if you've got good contact hitters that can pick a line and stay with it, then you're going to have chances to take advantage of that. But Missouri State utilizes the shift quite a bit. The infield, because of the in and out in the lineup right now, Mason Hall had kind of been that anchor in the middle of the infield. You've got a new third baseman in Dylan Robertson, a new shortstop in Nick Rodriguez. But the right side of the infield with the Masons, Mason Greer and Mason Hall, had been intact, but then he's missed the last five or so games. So they've still been turning double plays at a pretty good rip. I think second in the Missouri Valley Conference in that metric. So with the true freshman in there, Jake McCutcheon, they've been all right, but hopefully getting Mason back in there will settle things down over this three-game series. The outfielders, Gollert and Stewart on the outside and Spencer Nivens on the inside, can cover a ton of real estate. Spencer Nivens, you look at those home run numbers and those slugging numbers, Bubba, and I'm sure you probably think that must be a pretty big guy, but he is a center fielder with speed, and will lay out and put the Superman cape on and try to steal one from you. And that was why he was brought to Missouri State. The power numbers he's been putting up is just a testament to the work that the hitting coach and the associate head coach, Joey Hawkins, and Spencer have put in the last 2 years, because he can flat get the bat around and through the strike zone now. And if you leave one out and over the plate, he's going to put it in the stands. And I don't think anybody in the jungle wants to see a Spencer Nivens home run up close this weekend.
Yeah, certainly not. But appreciate the time. You've been very generous. And before we wrap things up, tell our viewers and listeners who sometimes like to hear the opposing call, for an inning or two, how they can hear your broadcast, and then also how they can follow you on social media.
Oh, sure. No, the Missouri State, like so many schools across the country, is a Learfield school. So if you're not familiar with the Varsity Network app, the best thing you can do to follow along with us is download the Varsity Network app to your phone. It's free. And you can go through and search by school and find whatever you want. You just type in Missouri State. And whether you mark that as a favorite or you just pick that day's game, you can listen to the action on your phone, on your iPad, your laptop, whatever, on the Varsity Network app powered by Learfield. Of course, if you, I don't do a ton of social media. Most of mine is on Twitter. And as much radio as I'm doing now, Bubba, I probably need to change it, because it's at Corey Riggs TV, but I spend a lot more time on the other medium than I do the one that's in my Twitter name. But at CoreyRiggsTV to follow along with Twitter. Missouri State Bears Twitter is a good follow as well.
Again, appreciate the time. It should be an excellent weekend of baseball between East Carolina and Missouri State at Clark LeClaire Stadium. Hopefully the weather will be good, so we'll have some excellent crowds out in 6 p.m., 4 p.m., and 1 p.m. first pitches over the next 3 days. ESPN Plus if you're unable to attend, or 94.3 The Game. But again, appreciate the time and appreciate everyone tuning in. Be sure to follow us on social media, on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram and TikTok at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For Corey Riggs, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Take care, everyone, and as always, go Pirates.
Why not copy that? Everybody in the stands go bananas, scream loud, baby, don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons blast. Get it on, get it all, get the wave going.